Hello and welcome to St Andrew's and All Saints online car contemporary service. My name is Reverend Peter Myers. I'm the curate here at St Andrew's and All Saints, and it's wonderful to be with you today as we worship our God. Now today we're going to be continuing with our series teaching out of Philippians, and the title of today's service is the Keep On Guarding Your Hearts. And we're going to be teaching out of Philippians, and Heather Williamson, one of our lay readers, will be speaking to us later. Now, before we get into the service, later on you're going to need something to make some noise. And so can you, if you want to join in, I've got two saucepan lids here. Could you go and get a saucepan and some lids or something to make a noise with? And I'll explain why you need that in a moment. So if you want to pause, go and get that and then we'll come back. Good. Have you got that? Good. Now, I am a fan of Eugene Peterson, who is a pastor and theologian and author. And he said this about worship. He said, "Worship is the strategy by which we interrupt our preoccupation with ourselves and attend to the presence of God." Let me say, read that again. Worship, us gathering together online, wherever we are, or when we come together physically. Worship is the strategy by which we interrupt our self-preoccupation with ourselves and attend to the presence of God. I so recognize how I can be so conscious and focused on my own challenges, my own joys, my own life, that I forget that it is all about God. And that's what we do this morning. Wherever we are, whether we're alone or with others, we are together spiritually. And this is a moment which is about worshipping God. And we set aside our own circumstances for a moment, knowing that God is with us in all our joys and all our difficulties. But this is a time to praise and worship and remember and to refocus on God. So just for a moment, let's go into a moment of silence. Set aside ourselves, refocus on God. And then I'll read a few verses from Psalm 9. So verses from Psalm 9. "I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praises to your name, O Most High. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name will trust in him, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Sing praises to the Lord, enthroned in Zion." And so let us say together, through Christ, let us offer our sacrifice of praise to God. Let our lips proclaim his praise.
Away. the whole world see. I will rejoice for the love you bring. I won't let someone take away the love you gave me. Knowing what you've done, every day my heart will say, I lift my hands up, I'm gonna stand up. I wanna tell the world you set me free. I wanna thank you, I wanna praise you. It's so amazing what you've done for me.
your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out.
If our worship together is a strategy to interrupt our preoccupation with ourselves, then let us say sorry now to God for where during the week we've missed listening to him, or we've been so focused on ourselves that we've missed being the light of the world that we're called to be and to shine God's glory. So let us come for a moment and say sorry to God for where we've fallen short, as we all do. There's no condemnation, there's just the ability to get right with God. So let us confess our sins. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you through our own fault, in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are heartily sorry and repent of all our sins. For your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on us, forgive us all our sins, and bring us to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, the good news of Jesus Christ is that because of God's love for you and I, he sent his Son to die on the cross to wipe away our debts and to bring us back into relationship with him. Now, many of you know we support Christians Against Poverty, CAP, which in its own way helps people to write off debt that they have built up in the physical realm, as Jesus writes off the debts that we have in the the spiritual realm. And we started a tradition that about celebrating when someone becomes debt free. So here's a clip from Chris to give us an update.
Hi, this is Chris, and giving you a quick update about CAP, Christians Against Poverty. The amazing news is that one of our clients, S, has become debt free. She's had a really rough ride these last couple of years, and I'm really pleased to say that she's in her own place now and has got a job. But most importantly right now is she's just gone debt free. So would you join me in making a noise for S?
Isn't that brilliant? We need to be able to celebrate. So let me pray. Lord Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that there's someone else who has become debt free and can start to live in a new hope and a new way. Lord, we thank you for all the work that Chris and his team and CAP do to get alongside those in difficult circumstances and set them free. And Lord, we pray for all of those that they're still working with. We pray that each and every one of those people will be debt free in due course in time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So there we go, put those down. Now, the children are going to go into enjoy their resources. There's the this week's video. The story that they're studying is the parable of the mustard seed. And there are the resources on the website if you want them. The rest of us, we're now going to listen to our reading, which is Philippians 4.
Reading is taken from Philippians chapter 4, verses 2 to 9. I plead with you, dear, and I plead with Sinchich, to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Final exhortations. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will always be with you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Good morning. It's a great delight and privilege for me to speak on these verses because they hold a special place in my heart and memories. The passage falls into three sections, and I'm going to talk about them in reverse order. So first of all, I'm going to read verses 8 and 9 in the King James Version, which is how I always remember them. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Miss Barnes, my grammar school headmistress, used to read these words at the breaking up assembly on the last afternoon of each term of my secondary school life. What a great legacy to leave in the minds of hundreds of girls, many of whom wouldn't have heard the Bible read aloud in their homes as I did. I'm grateful that we had a Christian assembly every morning and RE lessons every week, and that the ethos of the school was solidly founded on Christian principles. I learned many lessons for life, as well as for my academic progress at Maidstone Girls Grammar School. I believe the promise with which this passage ends is applicable to each of its three sections. Paul says, whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So first of all, how will filling our minds with things that are true and noble and pure and admirable keep us close to the God of peace? And do we lose that peace if we fill our minds with things that are negative, disturbing, untrue, debased, or impure? I wonder how many times since the beginning of the pandemic have you switched off the news saying, I can't bear any more of this. Why can't they focus on some good news for a change? I wonder, have you ever had a nightmare after watching a horror film? or found it difficult to get rid of a pornographic image from your mind? What was your reaction when BBC One began advertising a new drama series called Harlots? We all have daily choices to make about what to watch and hear and read, and we will each make different decisions as our inclinations guide us. But the important thing, if we're following Jesus, is to make them in the light of his teaching and the Holy Spirit's guidance. That's why many Christians wear wristbands saying, "What would Jesus do?" as a reminder. It's extraordinary to think that only 60 years ago, when I was in the sixth form at school, the Crown brought a prosecution against Penguin Books under the terms of the Obscene Publications Act for their publication in paperback of D.H. Lawrence's novel Lady Chatterley's Lover. It was a test case and a much publicised show trial, and many people thought that when the jury found in favour of Penguin Publishing, this ushered in the permissive society. And certainly there has been a huge shift in public attitudes to what is acceptable over those 60 years. But you only have to visit museums and classical monuments, or read ancient literature, or indeed the practices that St. Paul warns against in his letters, to realise that sex and violence, often depraved and abusive, have always been there in sculpture, painting and literature, reflecting aspects of human behaviour in their day. In Paul's day, just as much as ours, there have always been choices for followers of Jesus to make about what to see and hear and read and do, living alternative lives in a pagan society. Those of you who remember Mary Whitehouse may think I'm sounding like her. She was much maligned and ridiculed for her campaign against the slide into greater permissiveness in the media in the 1960s. It's difficult to speak up when it makes you look uncool and narrow-minded. Actually, I have read D.H. Lawrence's novels, though I prefer his poems, and I had to make a bid for the freedom to read English literature at university because my parents feared I would be polluted by the books and plays I'd have to study. But I guess that although I got my way, their attitude did help me develop a critical faculty and a preference for what is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, and admirable. And I'm grateful for that. And that's why it's so important that Christian parents guide and monitor what their children are watching and doing in the early days. And as they get more independent, discuss frankly with them what's out there to help them develop that same critical faculty themselves. And we have to go on examining ourselves. My husband David shocked me once when we were driving home after seeing an extremely raunchy play by saying, "You're a bit of a Jekyll and Hyde, aren't you?" He alerted me to what he saw as an inconsistency between my Sunday self and my everyday self. And I was grateful to him for it, because what I want, and I'm sure you do too, is to live as consistently as we can, so that the way we behave doesn't undermine our Christian witness. And being a Jekyll and Hyde, a split personality, makes it hard to experience God's shalom, that lovely Hebrew word for peace, which means wholeness and well-being through and through in every part of our being. What, positively, is filling your mind with what is true, noble, admirable, and so on? Well, lots of things have become specially precious during lockdown. Stories and experiences of goodness and kindness and self-sacrifice, the care of friends, the kindness of strangers, and deeper relationships with our neighbours, the amazing variety and beauty of the world of nature, self-expression through art and creativity, the pleasures of walking and other kinds of exercise, a wealth of wonderful films and books and art and so many kinds of music which have been made available online and on television while we can't go out. A favourite programme of ours at the moment, which really models creativity, restoration and loving kindness, is The Repair Shop. And it's interesting that it has a growing following. Most of all, we can feed our minds from the Bible, the bread of life. As we grow as Christians, we can begin to digest its challenges, as we're seeking to do at this moment. But at night, it can bring God's peace to our hearts. When I was a very little girl, my mother used to read me a simple truth or story about Jesus each night from a rather quaint Victorian book called Little Pillows by Frances Ridley Havergal. I've been remembering that in recent months because my cousin Roz has posted words of scripture on Facebook each night, followed by the simple message, "Sleep well, everyone." Last night she posted this. "You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you. Hear my prayer, Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. When I'm in distress, I call to you because you answer me. Among the gods, there is none like you, Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, Lord. They will bring glory to your name, for you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God." I've also discovered something called hashtag night blessings by Malcolm Duncan, which is on Facebook and Twitter and which does something similar. If you don't yet begin the day with the Bible, try Lectio 365, which provides a daily Bible reflection online on themes such as prayer and creativity, justice and hospitality, learning and mission. And each devotion begins with words from one of the Psalms. And of course, if you don't do things online, open your Bible. In our reading, Paul says, "Think about such things." If you haven't done so before, I hope you will begin to now. When I hear the middle section of the passage, verses 4-7 in my head, it too is in the King James Version, and the voice I hear is my grandfather's. "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." I was born in 1944 and my father was in the army. My mother was living with her parents, and so for the first 2 years of my life, Grandpa was the father figure in my life. We continued to have a very special relationship all the rest of his life. I often heard him reading aloud from the Bible and reflecting on the words, but it was my uncle who recorded him reading these verses when he and my grandmother were staying with him, not long before Grandma died. After he'd finished reading, my grandmother prayed, giving thanks and praying for the Lord's continued love and care as we get to the end of our... There she paused, searching for the word, and then said, "Tether," which wasn't quite what she had in mind, but I think it expresses perfectly what the peace that passes all understanding is about. It's there when we get to the end of our tether. It was a very treasured recording, though the quality wasn't great, and my mother often used to play it when we had family gatherings. Rejoice, don't worry, thank God, tell him what you want, experience peace. It's a five-part recipe which defies human logic, but it's one that really works. If you want to hear about a first-hand experience of the peace of God which transcends all understanding, accompanied by a powerful sense of the Lord's presence in a moment of desperate anxiety and fear, please go on our website and listen to Nicola Neal, who spoke at the service we streamed from New Wine on the 2nd of August. No amount of preaching can equal such a testimony. I don't have such a dramatic story to tell, but I do know that in some mysterious way, Praising God releases power to change the situation or to change our experience of it. I know that as we bring everything about our circumstances to God in prayer, he does lift our anxiety and give us peace. Not peace from whatever is making us anxious, but peace through and in spite of whatever it is. That's the peace which I hope you've experienced as we've been journeying through these uncertain times. The elderly vicar at one church I went to in London used in the benediction to say, "The peace of God which passes all understanding and all misunderstanding will keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge of God." I like that because I hate being misunderstood, and it is an experience which can rob us of peace. That brings us to verses 2 and 3, which became very significant at a time when I felt I had been misunderstood. It's where Paul urges two ladies called Euodias and Syntyche to be of one mind in the Lord. I'm not sure which of them I was, but I was one of them. The context was planning for Spring Into Life outreach in our local primary schools, a brilliant scheme initiated by our former vicar, Paul Finch. The team I'd been allocated to was a rather quiet team with members from different churches, and when we met to plan our lesson, I was full of ideas and enthusiasm. Unfortunately, the leader of the team, the pastor's wife from another church, thought I was usurping her role and trying to run the show. If you know me, I'm sure you can understand how that could happen, and you probably sympathise with her. She complained to our vicar, and without asking me for my side of the story, he reprimanded me severely in the presence of another church member. I was devastated because I'd been judged without having a chance to tell my side of the story. But I was also unhappy that the situation was unresolved. I wanted to be reconciled with the lady who'd felt so angry with me. So I asked the vicar if I could meet her with him as chairman to talk it through. At the beginning of our meeting, she was very prickly, but at the end she said, "Oh, now I see. You weren't imposing your ideas, you were just brainstorming." We were able to hug each other and pray together. Needless to say, I learned a lesson about how to be more restrained in a group situation. But I believe that for us to be reconciled was crucial for the success of our work for the Lord in that school. In his letter to the Ephesians, St. Paul talks about speaking the truth in love. He says that's the way we grow in maturity as members of the body of Christ. He also says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And as we do this, the God of peace will surely be with us. If that jogs your conscience about some unresolved situation that you have with somebody that you could get in touch with, then don't let the opportunity slip to put things right, because it makes all the difference. And these verses couldn't be more relevant than they are today, when among us we have such differing visions of what church should be like as we emerge out of the present crisis. It's really good that within our churches we've found different ways forward at All Saints and St. Andrews. But this is only the beginning of a challenging journey. If we're to move forward in the peace of God, it will need a lot of love and deferring to each other and a lot of prayer for our leadership team. So what a lot of intensely practical advice these 8 verses contain. The section is headed Exhortations. We are exhorted to fill our minds with what is good, to bring our requests to God in a spirit of thanksgiving rather than anxiety, and to make every effort to agree with one another in the Lord. Then the promise is that we will know the peace of God and the God of peace. Let's be quiet now and reflect on what we've heard the Lord say to us this morning, and open ourselves up to receive his shalom, the peace that passes human understanding. Then, after a pause, Jean is going to lead our prayers.
Let us pray. Eternal Father, maker of all things seen and unseen, we thank you for your wonderful creation and for your unfailing love for us. Help us to care for our environment and to be generous and loving to our fellow men. We pray for our church leaders, our church family, and for Christians throughout the world. We ask for your protection and guiding hand in the work of our mission partners. May the necessary financial support be forthcoming to sustain their work to the glory of your name. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we lift to you all in authority, our Queen, members of Parliament and local councillors. Guide them, Lord, giving them wisdom and compassion in the difficult decisions they face. We pray for all who work in public health and the emergency services, for key workers and those preparing our schools for safe reopening. Lord, help those with budgeting responsibilities to deal with the competing demands for the limited funds available in a time of recession. We also lift to you the continuing Brexit and trade negotiations. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, in this holiday month, we pray for families having a time of refreshment after months of lockdown, and ask for safety for all who travel. May we make the most of the precious time we have with our families. Give us the opportunities and the right words to talk to them about you. Bless all who work in hospitality in our hometown, and bless those who visit. May they enjoy the beauty of your creation and find you in this peaceful place. We pray especially for the work of the Littleton Well as it welcomes people with your love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we lift to you all who need your healing in mind, body or spirit, all who are named on the prayer chain, those we know personally who are ill, bereaved or depressed, those with financial worries for whom life is a daily struggle. We ask that you continue to bless the work of Christians Against Poverty and the activities at the Octagon supporting local families in need. We pray for older and disabled people receiving care and for their carers. Help us to support those in need through our prayers, our words and our deeds. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Finally, Lord, we praise you for the new online services and activities that have kept us united as we worship you. May we never forget the sacrifice you made for us. And as we go out into a new week, we pray that you will help us to reflect your love and to be a blessing to all those we encounter. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Shakes the holder. Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered.
Lord, thank you for your amazing grace. We're not saved by works, we're not saved by striving, we're not saved by being good. We are saved by faith in Jesus Christ through your amazing grace because of your love for us. Lord, thank you that we've been able to gather this morning, that in our worship we have interrupted our self-preoccupation with our own circumstances, our own lives, and lifted back our eyes onto you, to know that all things come from you, all things return to you, that you are sovereign, that you are with us, and it is to your glory, not our glory, that we face each day. And so thank you, Lord, that we have been able to gather today and worship and glorify your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So our service is drawing to a close now. Now, we haven't yet recognised that this has been a significant week for our young people. Yes, the A-level results were out this week and the GCSE results out next week. And I want to say to you young people who are getting those results, I don't know whether they've met expectations, and obviously the GCSE is yet to come, or whether you've got what you want or you've been disappointed. But we want to pray for you. We want to say we're cheering you on. We want to say that God is right in the midst of whatever you're going through, celebration or disappointment, or uncertainty about university places or whether to retake. And so we'd love to pray for you right now and to stand with you. We are cheering you on. Wherever you are, and particularly those waiting for GCSEs next week. I know it's a nervous time, but let me pray for you. Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you for all these amazing young people, for the extraordinary and disruptive year that they have experienced, the bizarre schooling, the lack of exams, the just challenging times. Lord, We thank you that you're right in the midst of each of their lives. You are their strength. You are their focus. You are their refuge at this time. And we pray that each one of you will know the love of your Lord Jesus Christ. We'll be able to trust him in these uncertain times and know that he will lead you through this time. So stand firm and know that God is good. Amen. Bless you, and we'll continue to be here praying for you, for those still with GCSEs as well to come in. Also want to recognise that today we're celebrating the 75th anniversary of VJ Day. We haven't particularly focused on that, as you'll be aware, through this service, but it's just to recognise that. We've been talking about peace and, of course, a significant day. So you may want to spend some time thinking, reading, praying about that today. Other notices, there's the weekly notice email that has gone out. Lots of information on there. Please take a look at that, and obviously on the website. And if you want further information, please don't hesitate to get in touch with me or the office. If you've got questions, we'd love to get in touch. So let me finish our service with the ancient priestly blessing from Numbers in the Bible. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord shine his face upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit remain with you now and always. Amen. Bless you, and see you very soon. Have a good day. Bye-bye.